We're going to start out. You were going to go to a specific area and cover that very quickly before we finish off what we were doing last week and go a little further away from that and go into the areas that have to do with Romans chapter 1. We've done a little bit of detouring. I've got to cover the things that I need to cover, and I've got an opportunity to do that, and that's a blessing. Praise God. Okay, let's see here. Get you on this chair. Are you okay? Okay, you want to get closer to the table. Is that going to help? Okay. Woo! Here we go. All right. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1. That's what we're studying tonight. We are studying Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin to look at the Word of God and gather it. Yes, I just said that, so you can get ready to go ahead. We're going to look at this, and do we have anyone that would like to be bold enough to read tonight? Okay, we have one reader over here. Okay, so we'll ask you to read Romans chapter 1, and I want you to read actually down to and complete verse number 8, all the way from Romans 1:1 to Romans 1:8. If you go down to that place, that's where we will deviate again, and we're going to study some of the areas that we had begun from the beginning to get into. Y'all ready? Let's have a good time. Come on, smile. Have fun. This is God's house. Praise God. All right, go ahead, sir.
Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, there's a whole lot of things that need to be explained, but we're going to go and take a look at this first part once again, because Paul says he is called to be an apostle. That is one of the fivefold ministry gift areas. And our firstly, we're going to go take us to Ephesians, actually, is where we were headed last time, to be able to go there. I'm going to come back and deal with the areas that we were dealing with last time as well. But let's go ahead and go there.
I'm going to test you guys tonight.
Oh,
so wow. What are you called to do? What?
I'm hearing so many different things.
Okay, but what does, how does the Bible frame that? Yeah.
Ministry,
so we have a ministry. All of us have a ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
What does that mean? What does reconcile mean, though? Do it in your own way of thinking, huh? Brought back? Okay. Who are you bringing people back to? Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. And so he's given you a ministry of reconciliation, and also he's called you what? What did he call you? Starts with an A. Ambassador. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, on earth, right? Yeah. Okay.
I want to say they're dignitaries too. That mm-hmm. You got to think
yeah,
of
we are. That's
your
true.
Calling as a ambassador is like being a dignitary too. You're in a very dignified position, and you need to carry yourself with some I guess you would
dignitary.
Say dignification.
Oh,
how's that? Okay. Well, it just made a new word.
Oh,
well. But I think we
if
should just carry
use
ourselves.
It, you know, it gets into the dictionary.
I know that's how it gets okay. there just by use.
Yep.
So it's important for us to be dignified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just be, I'm called to the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, you know, we're called to be ambassadors, which is a dignified position. It really is. It's a prestigious position. when an ambassador is known as an ambassador, they're always known as an ambassador. Even when they retire from that position,
that
they're still considered as an ambassador, just like a governor is still referred to as a governor, a president still referred to a president after their term is over. And you will always be considered a dignitary or an ambassador. And, you know, in this society, people don't want to be dignified about much. So we have to make a decision that we are going to be dignified people. We're going to carry ourselves with some dignification, I guess we could say. And that will help you to be able to be identified or set aside. See, because we want to blend in, but really we're supposed to be, the Bible says, be separate from the world. We're not to just blend in with the world. We want to be so blended in until, you know, you can't tell the difference between us and everybody else. But that's not really how it's supposed to be happening. I mean, you know the difference between salt and sugar. You're not the sugar of the earth, okay? So we always want to be just so sweet and everybody, you know, but sometimes you got to, you make a difference. You are a part of the saving character of God. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Now, and we need to consistently be that light and always consistently find ways to reach out to people. And it's sort of like what we're doing with the coat drives,
coats for drive. Coat of child and shoes
coat
for kids.
And right. And so at the same time, we're giving them the shoes, but I wrote up a little thing on a little piece of, well, it's nicer than just a piece of paper, but
it's a message.
Put a little message, and I'm going to rewrite it and actually put it in a little booklet, almost like Heaven Yes, Hell No, because I'm going to tell the story about how this all came about with the shoes and the coats. And then, but the main thing is what I'm trying to say is we always should find a way to try to reach people for Jesus. And
that's
so
right.
We hand out this information, and on there, you know, Michelle right now, she's the main one, of course, that's handing out these things. And she said, please read this. And on there, it's why we're doing this, but then also it's an opportunity for them to receive Jesus, because the prayer's on there for them to receive Jesus. And the invitation is on there for them to receive Jesus. And so we have to see that we should be sowing seed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find ways to do it. So like we got Heaven Yes, Hell No tracks. I mean, you can be putting those in the restrooms.
Yeah.
You know, when we have special events or even the little invite cards, you can put them in the post office. I do that randomly. I still do it, you know. And that way, you never know who will look at it. You pray over it and ask, you know, ask the Lord to draw people to that. But we should be constantly doing something. And you should ask yourself today, what did you do today for the Lord? You just basically went to work and didn't say anything about Jesus, didn't pass out anything, didn't see. We should be looking for ways every day, really, to be that light. And that light is not just, you know, we're just living, but doing something so God can use something to draw people to. It's sort of like when I was drawn to that track at age 14 years old, I passed by that store all the time. And then just one day, I mean, for years I passed by that store, you know, walking to school. And just one day I just happened to, and I know it's the Spirit of God now, but I just happened to turn and saw that track. And it said, do you want to know Jesus? And so just think about it. The store owner or whoever put that thing there, that track there, one day I saw it and I went in the store and I said, can I buy this? And they said, oh, it's free. And I was able to just take the track home, and I read it and called the number on the back, and you know, got saved, went to church with the pastor and his wife and got saved. And so you never know when God will touch the heart of somebody to see maybe a flyer you posted. And that's what
your
I'm saying.
Your social media could be used for more than showing your plate of food.
And so we have to constantly say, what have I done today? Yeah. What am I doing today? Now, I would say this, that those of you that are sewing into the coats, and I'm not just saying this because we're going to talk about a flyer, we need some more stuff, but the coats and the shoes, that part of that goes to your account because, mm-hmm. you know, we're allowing them to at least read something to say, right. you can know Jesus today, and this is how you can know him, and have the prayer on there. So you have to know that everything that we do as a church, like a gospel Christmas, all these special events, everything that we do mm-hmm. is really being that light, but we don't just sit and say we're right. the light. We have to start doing some things. So constantly, you should be looking for ways, inviting people. And like I said, once again, I'm going to repeat this. Even if you invite them by posting an invite card in the community, because there's a lot of places you can post those cards, you are inviting people. At least have an opportunity to invite people if they're looking at that bulletin board.
Right,
so,
right.
Because we're called to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Christians, we miss it. We just come to church and hear a good sermon, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. But we really should consistently be inviting people to church, inviting people to Jesus. We need to do this more often, I think.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay, we're going to go to,
now,
is that what you want to do?
We've noticed that Paul okay. is considered an apostle, and actually he calls us an apostle down below there in that other verse here that's talking about that. And I guess it's the sixth verse or fifth verse.
He says,
have received grace and apostleship okay. for obedience of the faith. Now, there's also here, I want to point out the spirit of holiness. The spirit of holiness. Now, that's in there also. Now, you have to understand that the enemy is a copycat. So he wants to have his own kingdom. There's a kingdom of darkness, just like there's the kingdom of God, kingdom of light. He wants to do everything a copycat of what he saw in heaven. So if there's a spirit of holiness, there's a spirit of unholiness. Okay? And so you got to realize when you're seeing some, in fact, well, let me, real quick, I know I'm not going to cheat on your time, Kathy, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it talks about this, that in the last days, you kind of identify people and say, wait a minute now, are you part of these people in the last days? Because there's a description. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, but this... or know this, or this know, that in the last days perilous times will come, and then continue, for the men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So if there's holiness, there's unholiness too. Now, holiness is something that you do. It's not something, you waiting for God to make you holy. That's not really, you know, he will sanctify you by you getting into his word. You're getting sanctified right now because that means you're getting set aside, meaning that you're learning to do things a different way based on what the Word of God is saying. And that's what sets you apart from other people. It's not your hairdo or, you know, all of the other stuff, that the outward appearance stuff. It's actually the Word of God.
Even though, speaking of hairdos, especially clothes, okay, mm-hmm. what you wear, is that as you get more sanctified, okay, and that just means set apart from the Word of God. There's some things...
By the Word of God.
By the Word of God. There's some things that women shouldn't wear, men shouldn't wear.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because as you get more set aside or set apart for the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit will correct you.
Well, see, because you start wanting to be this dignitary. You want to be dignified now. You don't want to be just out there, whoever you are, you want to be dignified about what you're doing, and you want to present yourself in a dignified way. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I like to be able to not just be like the guy that's in the bar next door to the grocery store falling over his drink. I mean, you know, you want to be a little more dignified because we are called as ambassadors. And how can we be an ambassador, which is really... It's like an officer. How can you do that if you're not living according to what the Word of God says? So you let the Word separate you. And this is why we have different Christians at different levels, because it's the level of how much of the Word that they're actually committing to their lives. And, you know, we changed. I mean, you know, And we were sitting there the other day saying, I'm so thankful we got married. I was 19, she was 18. We're happy about that. I think a lot of people need to get married young. Where's the organ when I need it? Anyhow, because of the fact that we know each other, we know what we want, we know we're best buddies. I mean, we're lovers, we're friends, we're married, we're mates, we're all that stuff. I don't know what a soulmate is. I ain't gonna say that. But anyhow, so we're there. And now we can serve the Lord together because we both know we want to serve the Lord. Amen. Instead of, you know, going through, you know, whatever. Okay, but we're just thankful for that. And see, as you live longer and longer in the things of God, you got to get settled too. It's important for you to be settled. People can basically predict how you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Predict what kind of response they're going to get, even if they present certain things to you, that you have a solid way of living. You're dignified in the way that you present yourself.
And I like the revealed knowledge of this. When you first, recently, you read the scripture, and you said something. You know, I don't even remember, or I don't think you remember what you said.
I probably don't.
But this scripture, I'm gonna read it, and I'm going to repeat what you said. And then I saw something so different in the scripture. It says, but know this, that in the last days, are we still up there?
Yeah.
Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. And you said this, and I said, oh, gosh, the light bulb just went on. Mm. Revealed knowledge, revelation knowledge. The reason why we are having this problem in the last day, perilous times, which is dangerous times, the reason why we have dangerous times is because of men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. That's the problem. Here's the list. Come on, I'm trying to get you to get the light bulb on. Here's the list of the problem. This is why we're in perilous times.
Right.
See, because once again, if we're not lovers of ourselves, we're lovers of God. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have dangerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you wouldn't even hear about shootings or anything.
Yeah.
Because if we loved other people more, of course, than we love ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it says disobedient to parents. That's why we have shootings sometimes.
That's
because
right.
They're disobeying their parents. They hate their parents. Well, and so, yeah. See, if we didn't have these problems.
They rebel against authority. And that's part of the last days also.
Right.
They just against authority.
You
we're going to see
it?
That in some of the things
that's
we're talking
about.
That's
why we're having perilous times, dangerous times.
We need to teach our children to
money.
Be individuals that are not rebellious against authority.
And the Bible says, it says the love of money, come on, let's go there, is the root
of all
evil. So that's why we have dangerous times.
Cha-ching.
So I don't know. Mm. I just think that was such a revealed knowledge of the word that
that's the reason why we have these things.
Yeah.
You know, and when it talks about perilous times, dangerous times, it's not just somebody shooting, but it's just the lasciviousness. Remember this, when we started this church, we were in a school that has changed its names. Most of them do when they're not doing well. They tear the school down, change the name of the school, and rebuild another school there so they can continue to get federal funds, because if the school was failing, then you can't get money for that school because it's failing. Y'all don't know that? That's what happens. And so, anyhow, we were at a school called James Sales Elementary School, and it was right on 112th Street. That's where we started. And when we started in that school, the Lord gave me the word lasciviousness or licentiousness, which means lawlessness. In fact, my first book that I wrote, Casting Down Imaginations, talked very deeply about that there's coming a time where people are just lawless. We're seeing it now. And we're seeing it on a really strong scale that I never thought America like this, where they're just, you know, they're against police, they're against, I don't care if,
Well, think about it, though. People are paying people to be
that's
lawless.
Right. To riot.
Yeah.
They are literally,
they're paying people
there are
to
evil
be like that.
Billionaires that are paying people to go against our police, against our CPB, all of the different folks that we have trying to be able to sustain lives. See, for, the Lord told me I need to talk to you about these things because many of you don't have time to even be up on what's going on around you. And you just don't know. And so, go Google what I'm telling you and see if I'm telling you the truth. It's what's happening. It's happening right now in Chicago. It happened in L.A. It happened somewhat in Seattle. It somewhat started in Seattle with what they call the Summer of Love, which was just craziness, okay? Lasciviousness or lawlessness. Now, it's great for you to watch on your television, but when it comes to your neighborhood, you're going to want to hear what I've got to say, okay? Because, like, for example, and I was thinking about it today. I was reading an article this morning. It was just, well, this afternoon. It was just really sad to hear. Because right here on 112th Street, which is where we are, which is where we started that school, one block from where we started in that school of James Sales Elementary School, there is an intersection there, 112th and Ainsworth. I'm giving you very specific details to let you know how close this lasciviousness, this lawlessness, this rioting is to you. And we need to realize that God wants us to be able to be aware, to be awake. That's why it says watch and pray. Stop closing your eyes when you pray. Stop closing your eyes before you pray. See, sometimes we close our eyes all day long.
Especially don't close your eyes while you're driving. God hears you with your eyes open.
That's right.
Okay?
And you don't have to bend your knees because that's tough to do while you're driving too. So what you need to realize is that lasciviousness is now here. He told me that lasciviousness was coming up from California through the gangs, okay? And I said that to us, 37 years ago? Because the Spirit of the Lord showed me this, and I'm called to a lifestyle ministry. Well, we hadn't even heard of the Crips and the Bloods. We didn't know nothing about, all we knew about a Crip and the Blood was the cross of Jesus and in the grave. So we didn't know nothing about it. Jesus' blood, and of course, there was a Crip. That's the grave. So we didn't know anything, but this is real. And so today, I was reading this article this afternoon prior to studying some more, and on 112th Street, this morning, this is Wednesday morning, the police identified a car that was a suspect. He was a suspect, and he was a fugitive of federal law. So he's in trouble. Anyhow, they start pursuing him, and he continued very fast, got up to 80 miles an hour on 112th Street right here. The speed limit here is about 35 to 40, but 112th Street all the way across Pacific Avenue, down there, you go down a little bit further, and right a block from the school where we started this church on 112th Street, we're on 112th Street now. We've been on 112th Street a long time. But anyhow, he ran through a light. The woman that was coming through that light had a green light. He hit her car, killed her instantly. And at last check, I think it was 5 o'clock this afternoon, that intersection was still closed for investigation. Now, there were three in the car. And I'm telling you this because we're reading about lasciviousness. We're reading about lawlessness. Now, thank God it wasn't any of us. Now, it's still sad that this woman has lost her life. She was just going through the light legally, and this man is going 80 miles an hour on this street where this church is at, 112th and Ainsworth, okay? That's where it was. And hit this woman's car. You could barely tell that it was a car when you saw the picture. And she's gone. Three individuals was in the car. One was a fugitive with federal charges. They arrested him. And the other two tried to run, but they caught them. So all three of them are caught. But I'm just saying, that's lawlessness. It's not just somebody pulling out a gun, bang, 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 bang. Of course that's lawlessness. But we're seeing all this craziness. And I tried to tell us last week. Now, I'm not the bearer of bad news. The good news is that you got Jesus protecting you. You got the angels around you. You need to thank God for that. Thank God that when you jump on a plane, the angels are right in front of that plane, knocking everything out of the way, making sure that you get no bird strikes, okay, your engines don't die, whatever. You need to thank God for that. Because we have scripture for that. Now, this is how extreme you got to take the word of God. As the world gets extreme, we have to become more extreme in our faith, because our faith and our life are tied together. I was teaching that on our television program.
Take it by force, right?
That's right. We got to take it by force. Uh-huh. So that too is perilous times in the day. I mean, it's morning. I mean, the lady was probably going to get a Starbucks or something, and all of a sudden, 80 miles an hour on 112th Street hits this car, knocks it to where you can't even recognize this car on the street that we come to church on. You see? And so we have to just, and it's not, well, I thank my lucky stars. Your lucky stars ain't lucky, first of all, in the first place. You ain't got no lucky stars. Show me that in the book. You ain't got no lucky stars. You better, you know, because some of you, we can't say that stuff. That's nuts. You have angels watching over you, and you need to believe that, even if it doesn't make any sense to you, because there's a supernatural world that we live in that God puts a buffer around us. That woman lost her life because somebody wanted to drive crazy away from the police. Well, they caught him anyhow. But, you know, it's just, it's lasciviousness. It's lawlessness. And we should not be standing up for lawlessness. We shouldn't be saying, I don't care what part of you are part of, because there's a political party right now that's encouraging people to be lawless in this country. I hate when y'all get quiet.
You see, we have to be people of, but the Bible
says. Maybe it's
says,
ignorance, but we need to be, because if we don't take control of this as a country, it's coming to every neighborhood.
Yeah.
People start stealing your stuff, stealing your car, stealing everything. Now, I'm just saying, if we don't take control of this, it can spread all over the nation, just like COVID did.
Yeah.
Or tried to. Or they said it did. Some of y'all just had the flu. You thought you had COVID, which is a form of the flu. Anyhow, but all I'm saying is that this is lasciviousness.
Right.
This is that lawlessness. It came up with the gangs because of the spirit. It's not the flesh. The flesh works with it, but it is a spirit. That is a spirit. If there's a spirit of holiness, there's a spirit of unholiness.
Amen.
If there's a spirit of lawlessness, there's the law of God as well. The New Testament law as well as the Old Testament law. So you got to get a hold of this. And that's why you need to be praying consistently. You need to be knowing that God's taking care of you.
Amen.
And make that confession. Pray that prayer. No weapon formed against me. I mean, just stand on the word of God. Believe that, you know, 1,000 may fall at my side. You can't do nothing about that. 10,000 at your right hand ain't coming near you.
Yeah, we have to, like I said, we
you
need
gotta
to
stand on the word of
confess
God.
Confess the
in
word
these
of God
times.
More. Yeah.
Because in these days, it's perilous. Because of all these people, well, they were probably searching for money. Maybe they were selling drugs. Maybe they're involved with some kind of craziness.
But they're lovers of themselves. I mean, that
lovers
can
of
fit,
themselves?
That can sort of fit into that situation because, you know, when you look outside of yourself and you care about other people,
you ain't gonna go 80 miles an
you're
hour.
You're not gonna go 80. You know, you're not trying to harm somebody else. You want right. to make sure people are protected and things like that. And God says that blessed are, I wanted to say this a little earlier, but I'll just say it now.
Good.
Blessed are the peacemakers. And so we should be the one bringing peace to every situation. And but because of the lawlessness,
now,
it's because of these things that we're reading. Being unthankful, being unholy, disobedient to parents. I mean, boasters. I mean, just proud and all the things that it lists.
Yeah, and I want to say this. There are some people, and I was reading some scriptures today, and, there are some people that are just never going to get rid of evil. They're just never. They're never going to. Even if they hear about Jesus. People make a choice. They choose whether they want to be able to. God, yeah, he preordained us to be able to receive salvation, but you have your own will. Just like Jesus had his in the garden. It was the biggest test he ever been to in all eternity was in the garden. Do I really let these jokers jab me in the side and put this crown of thorns and beat it on my head? The thorns were not little bitty, you know, rose thorns. These were big old honkers that was beat on his head. Do I really let these people pull my beard out, slap me around, beat me up, and then crucify me?
And the reason that you made that statement just now, that we're going to always have evil, because, and I thought about this scripture in
Genesis
chapter number eight. And it says in verse number 20, it says that Moses built an altar to the Lord. Now, this was after the ark.
Flood. Yeah.
The flood. Okay. And Noah gave an offering. Hello. You know, we should give offerings, especially, all the time. But then,
when you get a victory, you really need to offer something to the Lord.
How else are you going to thank the Lord? You can't hug him. I keep saying this. So at least you can give a special offering and say, hey, I got the victory.
But if you're a lover of money, it's hard to do.
That's right. And that's a part of
because
the other problem.
Money is the only other master that God compares himself to.
And so, and
it
says,
not the devil.
That's right. And the Lord smelled this of soothing aroma. And this is where I want to get to. Then the Lord said in his heart. Now, one thing we have to know about God, he does not change. And he cannot lie. Okay. So he says, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although, see, he's saying, I won't do it, but I know that, hey, mankind, they got a problem. And they're going to always have a problem in this mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. And it says, although the imagination, say imagination, of man's heart is evil from his. It's evil in our heart. The word of God will. It sets us apart. So the more word we get, the more set apart we are. That's why we need more word. Because it's setting us.
Flesh is like, oh, we can eat another pizza and stay home and watch TV. Church. Man. You're doing, you're taking control of your physical body and you're taking control of your thoughts too. There are times, I'm gonna just say this, it's pretty personal, but there are you are deceiving yourself, and nobody is tricked into that but you. You're the only one that's deceiving yourself because you're hearing stuff, but you won't do it. And obedience is better than a sacrifice. Ain't no sense in you lighting a sacrifice and saying, God, I know I didn't do this right, but I, you know, here you go. Here's something. I'll give you this. You know, I tried that even with being called to the ministry.
Well, we hear the word to do the word.
Yeah.
We should hear the word to do the word, not just hear the word, because then that's what is called religion, being religious. When we just hear and we're not doing. We're just doing a religious thing.
That's right.
Coming to church, hearing a good song, hearing the preacher, but we're not doing the word of God, then you're becoming a religious person.
Yeah.
Where you're just religiously out of tradition.
Yeah.
You just go to church on Sunday. That's what you do.
Two things about that. Mm-hmm. Number one, in the Hebrew, to hear means to obey. In the original Hebrew, you can't use the word about, God, I hear you. No, you don't hear him until that turns into obey. Because that's the word, that's what it means. It means to obey. So with God, if God's talking to you, just obeying is the only thing that acknowledges that you really heard him. The second thing is, I'll leave that one alone.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So let's go to Ephesians now, because we're in the book of Romans, and we were talking about Paul being called, and I tested you guys earlier tonight. You guys passed a test, okay? So here it is. Let's talk about the calling in the ministry, because it's what we call fivefold ministry gifts. And so Paul was called as a what? Do you remember? Apostle, okay?
Yes.
And so here it is in Ephesians chapter 4, and you really should read the entire chapter, because it says, I therefore, now I'm going to not try to teach this or stay on this. I just want to establish this chapter. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, now here's Paul speaking again, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So he's really serious about his calling. Mm-hmm. And we need to be serious about our calling. Now, I told you already what you're called to do, and you guys passed your test tonight. Now we're going to look at callings that God gives gifts to men. They're gifts to us, okay? And so it says, and go down to, in verse number 8, it says, at the last line, it says, and gave gifts to men. So this is the Lord giving gifts to men and women here.
That's right.
Okay?
Now, the gifts that he's giving are people.
Right.
They're not gifts from Walmart, okay? It's not something that he got you from Best Buy. These gifts, he gives, and this is what he's thinking, he gives people as gifts that are called to these certain areas. And so the question is, what do we do with the gifts that God gives? I hope it's not what we do with the gifts that we give for Christmas, because some of y'all can't even find them things. Some of us, we get gifts for Christmas, and by New Year's, the thing is broke, beat up, thrown in the garbage, or discarded to the side, especially when we're kids and we're God's children, right?
Yep, and so there's a reason why. In verse number 11, who's our reader? You want to read?
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
There he is right there. He's
you can go
highlighting
ahead and read
his Bible.
Go ahead, reader.
Go ahead, reader.
Okay.
You can pick up that highlighting in just a minute.
Verse 11.
This is 4:11 of Ephesians.
And he gave some apostles.
No, verse 11.
Oh, Ephesians 4:11.
Mm-hmm.
You missed
a couple of words. Yes, he did.
And he gave some apostles.
And he himself.
Oh, yeah, himself. Okay.
That's important, because Jesus himself gave.
That's a capitalization.
Yeah. Jesus himself gave. I want to point that out. Yeah, he gave some to be apostles, but it says, and he himself. So we have to see that
both
that's serious.
Both of them are capitalized.
Yes, speaking of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's very serious to know Jesus himself.
God the Father.
I did it. It's sort of like him saying, I did this personally, on our behalf as believers. So this is important for us to make note of. And go ahead. And he himself.
Yeah. I see. I have the King James.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he himself gave some to be apostles.
Let's say apostles. We'll go back around once we go through this.
Some prophets.
Prophets. Say prophets.
Some evangelists.
Say evangelists.
Evangelists.
And some pastors.
Say pastors.
And teachers.
And teachers. Okay, so let's do this really quickly here so we can move on because there's, well, go ahead and read verse 12 and we'll go back around. There's a reason. Now this is the why. Everybody say, what's your why? This is the why right here, okay? So he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and we have all those callings in this ministry,
amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
Some evangelists, some pastors and teacher. Here's the why, verse 12.
For the equipping of the saints.
So that tells us, is obvious, we need to be equipped.
Now,
that's why you come to church. That's why we come to church.
I got to touch this a little bit.
You go
see,
ahead.
Because the Holy Spirit's ability to meet the needs of your life is so powerful that a person that's called in the ministry has the ability, I don't care if you're a rocket scientist, has the ability to speak into your life and help you with anything you need help with.
Right, right.
So you have to realize that he himself did this, and that when you come to hear the word from a truly called fivefold ministry gift, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you can't buy that kind of teaching or insight from a professor that's not called to the ministry, or a psychologist, or whatever. You need to hear from somebody that's hearing from God.
Amen.
And so you have to, no matter how big your wig is, you know, because we have big wigs in society that people think, you know, that they're all that, and that they don't need to listen to anybody, especially not you, because you didn't go to the school that I went to, or you don't have the degree that I have, or you did. Baloney. The man of God, the woman of God, the fivefold ministry, you must learn to submit yourself to that anointing so that you can get what you need, no matter how complicated, how smart, how scientific, how technologically advanced you are. You need the man of God, the woman of God that's called by God.
Now think about it. When Pastor was saying that, I wrote something down. And Jesus, he put this on my heart to say this to you guys. Think about it. Jesus was a carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a good
pounding
fisherman.
Nails.
But he was a good
pounding
fisherman.
Pounding pegs, I guess. I don't know if they had nails.
I'm going to say that again.
I guess they
Jesus did have nails. Was a carpenter, but he was a good fisherman. Remember he told his disciples where to throw the net over.
Yeah.
See, he
But
Jesus,
he was also a good
yes,
mortician because he
mortician.
Raised people from the dead.
He was a good mortician. See, he's a good psychologist. Come on, the Bible says he's a wonderful counselor.
That's right.
Okay? And he's a physician.
He's the Prince of Peace.
And he's a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is that Jesus equipped these men and women, these callings, so they can equip the saints. So they have, through the word of God, the word to give to the people, the congregation, and what you need. So if you just listen, if you come to church ready to open up your heart to the word of God, you'll hear things that you need to hear that will help your life.
You know,
okay?
the sad part about
especially
this,
those that are called.
Yeah, but the sad
themselves.
Part about this is that we're human beings, and having someone that's a part of that fivefold calling, like myself and like you, teaching this turns people away from believing this. So you really, it's hard for them to get it because it's like you're just trying to brag on yourself. Baloney, we're reading the Word of God. This was here 2,000 years before I was born, okay? So I'm not trying to promote that I'm a called pastor and you need to listen to me. It's just what the book says. And for me, with my pastor, shoot, man, I wanted to hear everything. I wanted to get close so I can get some spit flying on me. I mean, I wanted to be that close to hear. I'm talking about that close to hear the word of God. I don't want to miss nothing they're saying. See, and that's, ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, I didn't really want to spit, but you know what I mean. You know, you want to receive. And I, that's one of the reasons why I believe I was able to soak up so much, especially like when we was building this building and he had no money, but God, we had faith and God told me we're building the building and, you know, okay. And he's telling me some more stuff bigger than this now. There's bigger stuff going on right now. Get ready. I don't need to tell you about it, but I'm telling you, he's doing something bigger than all of the stuff we've already done. And you have to just trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, because if you lean on your own understanding, you're going to be stupid. Amen. I don't care how smart you are. You're stupid. El stupido, okay? You're just dumb. That's a dumb thing to do, is to lean on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean you don't use your understanding. You just don't lean on it. Okay.
Because we're limited you lean in on our the understanding. Lord. We're limited in our understanding, but God is not. Amen. And God will reveal to you things that need to be revealed to you at the right time.
How important is that? Here's how important it is. You could have been going on Ainsworth heading for 112th Street, and the Spirit of God could have said, ooh, sounds like something is wrong with your tire. You stopped to check your tire, and that car went through at 80 miles an hour. You check your tire, wasn't nothing wrong with it. Was that a waste of time, or was it a saving of your life? See, because lean not unto your own understanding. I already put some air in that tire. I don't need to pull over to the side. If the Spirit of God is telling you to pull over to the side, pull over to the side, check the tire. Let that 80-mile-an-hour nut and his two friends go through that intersection with the police chasing him so you don't get hit and killed. See, and this is how we got to listen carefully. In this society that's perilous, dangerous times, not the whole day, in those days or those times. And that's how important you need to have that. That's what I'm talking about, spit flying. I mean, you need to be close enough to God to get some spit flying from him.
Because some people...
To hear from him.
Some people are called and some people just went. So you have to make sure that the person that's sitting before you, they're called by God to do what they're doing, because then that's how you get equipped, that you need the equipment, really, to do the work of the ministry.
Right.
So we want to finish
You know,
this.
Let me just say this. Okay. I've heard ministers say this, and I don't say it this boldly. Maybe I'll get that bold down the road. But I've heard ministers say, and I said, that's true. They have said, I have your future in my mouth. I'm preaching your future. And if you believe what you hear, you will live a better life by listening to what I'm saying to you as a man of God, if I'm hearing from God. But like she was saying, some were sent, preachers, and some just went. Some just went to school. And all of a sudden said, I want to be a preacher.
Some just got mad at the church and started their own church.
Right.
You know, they
some
were mad.
Some were sent, and some just went. Some just, I think I want to... I'm tired of working at Boeing. I think I want to start a church. I know a guy over in Auburn that did that. He used to advertise on our radio station. They actually had a teaching program on there, but he ended up doing some stupid stuff where he had people dancing and bumping against each other in the church and ended up in adultery himself and went back to Boeing.
See, it's
lost
sort of
the
like,
whole ministry.
It's sort of like being saved. You should, if you're born again, you should be able to tell someone, how did you get born again? And if you can't tell us how you got born again,
see a
then you
worker.
Need to get you need to get born again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Nothing,
not
no
a
shame.
That's not a shameful thing. And that's the problem too. We sit in church for years and years and years, and then we get embarrassed because maybe we're sitting by our spouse and they think you received Jesus Christ because you've been going to church. Man, I wouldn't let nobody take my salvation, you know, my
it
opportunity.
It would be better to be embarrassed
to receive,
here.
Yeah, to receive. Yeah, right.
Than to go into heaven.
Right.
Or try to get there and you're really embarrassed because you ain't saved.
So just like the point I'm trying to bring across, just like you can tell people how you got saved, then a person that's called into the ministry should be able to tell you how they were called. Okay. And I remember that we, a while back, you know, we were asking some people that said they were calling ministries, how did you get called? And they couldn't tell us. They couldn't tell us how did they got called. So, well, then you're not called to the ministry, because you can tell us that experience. Because if somebody's call you, like if I call my husband, you know, Don, you know.
It's literally a call.
It's a call. And so you should be able to tell people, just like I told you how I got born again, my experience at the age of 14. I'm almost 70 years old, and I still remember that experience. Yeah. It will never go away from me. Yeah. You know, walking to school, and then all of a sudden I see the track one day.
Yeah.
You know, and I called and went to church and got born again.
Well, mine was 58 years ago, and I still remember it.
Yeah. And so the callings are the same thing. You should be, there's an experience. The Lord's putting this on my heart. We're able to read how Paul was called when he was Saul.
Acts chapter 9. We're going to go there one day.
Right? Am I right? Yeah. And we can go back and read that over and over and over, his experience.
And God talked to him.
So when God
talks
to him. Right. When God deals with you, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it if God is dealing with you. So we're going to have to get ready to close pretty soon, but let's finish reading.
We didn't get anywhere where we're supposed to.
Well, you got
to where you need to go.
For the equipping of the saints, for the what?
Work.
The work of the ministry.
The what?
The work.
What is it called?
Work.
See, and I said that earlier. We have to work. So if it's passing out flyers, posting flyers, there's work to be done. And we have too many believers that we come to church to hear a good sermon, and we're not doing anything. We're not doing the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And the work of the ministry is planting seeds so people, God can use that seed, and somebody else can come water it, and God will give the increase. So we should be constantly telling people about Jesus, you know, putting things out about Jesus. I mean, we should be consistently doing something because we have what to do?
Work.
Okay, now, wait a minute. This is all under these fivefold ministry callings. They're supposed to help to put you to work.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So that's good. Think of a coach. Coach looks to see who he's got on the team, okay? And, of course, sometimes there's trades that go on with a team, and sometimes that happens in churches. Okay, I'll trade this plumber for a Boeing worker. Okay, y'all didn't get that, anyhow. But see, people do sometimes come and go from the church, but you should know what church you're supposed to be part of. And once you know that, you always should see, and I say it all the time, is the back of your head and elbows moving. You should be so busy. And I'm telling you, up in here, we can have you seven, like right now with these coats and shoes and stuff. You know, I heard from a staff today, they said, we're going to have to get some help. We need some help. All these people writing us want coats and shoes and coats and shoes and shoes and coats and coats and shoes.
But see, God dropped that vision in our heart so you can do some work. Okay?
All of us can do something.
Right. And so that's why God puts it in the heart of the ministry. So we can do work, the work of the ministry. And so it was a blessing once again to see all these people come. In fact, I had, I think it was Joyce. Was it you, Joyce? Joyce said earlier, was you that saw the table full? She came in and she had seen the table full of shoes, and there were coats on the table. I mean, it was just full, the table, of all these things. And then she left the church and came back to the church. And when she came back tonight, I happened to be out in the foyer. And she said, wow. She said, look, the table is empty. I said, yes, because we've had families come in, you know, all different time between our time that we give them. They've been coming in, picking up the shoes, picking up the coats. And it's, yeah, praise the Lord. That's part of the work of the ministry. And it's just wonderful to be a part of showing the love of God, too.
Yeah,
not
because,
just talking about the love of God, but showing it.
But, you know, the thing is, maybe they'll actually come to church, maybe they won't. But see, this is like the loaves and fish. People listened to Jesus for a few minutes. He gave them loaves and fish. Who knows if they came back to him? But we're to help people. We're to be
here
to help
them. We're giving them an opportunity to receive
okay, so
Jesus.
Okay, so this is just one way that we help them. We've got a lot of things.
All righty.
Okay, now, I want to say this. You cannot look at your, I wasn't going to say this. Remember I said I ain't going to say that. But I'm going to say it. You cannot look at your attendance as some big deal. I say this all the time. The chair's been here more than you. Chairs and heard every sermon. Y'all have missed church. These chairs have not, but they're not saved. They're not more of a Christian. See, and you got to realize, just by coming and sitting here like a chair doesn't change your life. You got to hear what's being brought to you and start becoming a doer of that. And, you know, thank God. And it's amazing to me, and you were saying this earlier today, and we're closing now, but you were saying it's amazing how churches all over the world, and God sends singers and musicians and, you know, deacons and all this. God equips all of the churches that he's called. He always sends the people and the preachers consistently every week. You got to think about it. The pastors every week, you know, we have two services, sometimes three services a week. We used to have 5 to 6. And every time you came to church, it was something fresh. You can't do that by yourself. And, you know, we're not sitting here with a lesson plan.
We had a minister to say that years ago.
He had
a church, and they no longer have this church. They stopped it and actually start coming to this church. And the minister said to you, when they shut down their church and came here, he said to you, and I'll never forget, he said, "How in the world do you come up with all these sermons and preaching and stuff? How do you do that?" And think about it. He was pastoring at one time, but it was really hard for him to come up with messages and stuff. And that's why they have books out there at the Bible bookstores, and you can go online and buy, you know, outlines of other people's messages. And he said, "How in the world are you?" And he said, "I just pray, and God just shows me, you know, things to that the people need, and I just obey the Lord." And
but
so,
you know, but I relate to that because I was in that same boat for 6.5 years.
Yeah, but that's because of
just,
medicine.
I know, because I was poisoned. And that's what happens if you... That's our second warning. We said we're getting out on time. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Go on, finish your story, though.
Well, I'm just saying, when I was out for 6.5 years... that was one of the most frustrating things, that I could not hold on to thoughts and couldn't be able to get into my word. And that was because of drugs in my system from the hospital that was poisoned.
If any of us start, you know, shooting up and taking drugs and stuff, we're
drinking,
not gonna be,
or whatever.
We're not going to think clearly either.
That's right. That's right.
And so you didn't do it
on
purpose.
But I'm just saying, I can understand.
Hospital, they shot that in.
It has to be God giving it to you.
Yeah,
it has. And same thing for you. When you're standing in the Safeway line and the Lord is saying to you, talk to him. Say something to him. It's not what you're saying. Hear what God's saying.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can relate to him. They may be buying dog food. Say, "Hey, what kind of dog do you have?" Mm-hmm. "I got a stuffed animal." "No, what kind of dog? What kind of dog do you have?" I mean, you know, and, you know, you can start a conversation with that and somehow work into the Lord, you know, and talk to him about the Lord. Or, you know, you may see him and they're buying oatmeal. "Hey, did you know what oatmeal does for you?"
And sometimes the easiest thing to do is to give them an invite card too.
That's right.
I mean, if you working up, you know, strengthening that area in your life of talking to people, then you can help talk through materials, things that you can, you know, invite people and say, "Here, just take this." And
Jesus did it at the well with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
He talked, you know, she wanted to talk to him about, you know, Abraham, this is the well that he used.
And he wanted to talk to her about her relationship.
Yeah, he took that and took her all the way to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, so you can change the conversation. You can be able to change, as they say in sales, change their base and get them talking about what you want them to talk about to be able to close the deal.
I remember Donna Hilly, how she said when she
explained it.
She still is a part of church, but she lives in Texas now. And so her story of the Lord said, talk to her, because it was a pregnant lady. you know, behind her, and, she said, you know, talk to her. And so she just turned around and started talking, and struck up a conversation with her. And the lady was thinking about having an abortion. And they got into that conversation, and Donna said, no, don't, you know, she convinced her not to do it.
Right.
And the lady listened to her and didn't have abortion and had her child, and then the lady got born again and started going to church and everything. So, you know, when God is talking to you and saying, hey, you know, say something to this person, or, you know, invite this person or do something, then we should take heed. And I know we get scared. I've been there before where I said, oh, I don't, or you get to, well, I don't feel like getting into a little conversation today, you know, and stuff. And so once again, remember, that's our feelings.
I don't feel like,
But we need to step out in faith and just start planting these seeds in people in their lives and let God just give the increase. Say a big amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's it for tonight.
Praise God.
Right?
Father, we thank you that your word is alive. We thank you, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives in every way. We cancel the plan of the enemy to be able to confuse us. Father, let each and every one of us know that by listening to you, we help with the kingdom, that we help with furthering the gospel, that the gospel is nothing more than words, and that we have to speak, we have to say something. And it's not just for the fivefold ministry gift, that you've called us all to the ministry of reconciliation, that we are all ambassadors. We're dignitaries. We are somebody special because you called us out of darkness into this marvelous light so that others can be able to be received into the kingdom of God as well. Call it done in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for it. And everybody said amen.
I want everybody to say, I am.
I am.
An ambassador.
An ambassador.
Say, I have work to do.
I have work to do.
I am called.
I am called.
With a ministry
of reconciliation.
Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, go to work.